Okay, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry M., and I am gratefully recovered today in Wyoming, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, June 27th, 2024, and today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 28, reading the first two paragraphs. Our reference number, our share ID for Wednesday, June 26, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21,524. And our reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 21,526. Our OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'm now going to ask Jan S. to read the 12 steps.
Hello to everyone. This is Jan S. as in Sam from Carlsbad, California. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to others, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Jan S., and I'm going to ask Deb E. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, fellows. This is Deb E. in Montana, compulsive overeater living in recovery today. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communications. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation for all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Deb E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, you'll press star 1 to unmute, and then once you're done sharing, you could say pass or then just press star 1 to mute your phone again. And in order to have a quiet meeting, we ask that everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and today we are on page 28, and we are reading the first two paragraphs, starting with, "Here was a terrible dilemma." And I will now ask Yvonne A. to begin reading.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Yvonne A. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in BC, Canada. Here was a terrible dilemma in which our friend found himself when he had the extraordinary experience, which, as we have told you, made him a free man. We, in our turn, sought the same escape with all the desperation of drowning men. What seemed first a flimsy reed has proved to be the loving and powerful hand of God. A new life has been given us, or, if you prefer, a design that really works. And, wow, that's such an amazing and yet true statement. You know, the dilemma that they're talking about is this one where we are not able to recover on our own. We are, unfortunately, not able to adapt to pay in ways or stay on anything permanent. We are the type of compulsive overeaters that need that vital spiritual experience, that psychic change. And when we get that, when we do find that, we do receive this new design for living, which for me has been an absolute and complete miracle in my life. And it shows up every day. Just this morning, actually, yesterday it started, I was pondering with another fellow how when I first came here, it was like, it wasn't that I didn't believe in a higher power. It was just that I was not connected to a higher power. And so this thought that I would be able to have this spiritual awakening, it just didn't have any kind of teeth to it. I didn't understand how that was going to happen and how that was going to make my eating problem any better than what it had been for 40 years. And so I would put sticky notes around the house that said, pause, invite God in. And yet I still didn't. I'd get to the end of the day and I'd think, okay, where did I stop today? Where did I ask God in? It's like, oh, I guess I forgot to do that again. Now my conversation this morning with my higher power was short, but it recognized the power. It recognized that I need that power, that the relationship right now is one-sided, that I recognize I'm not bringing to the table what I should be. But right now, God is carrying me a little bit. I need that. I'm in this tough spot. And that's the miracle of this, is that as long as we're there, available to God, God is going to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Whatever your vision of God is, whatever that means to you, whatever a higher power means to you, when we're able to turn to that instead of trying to figure it out, then we are living this new design for living. And like I said, I could not have ever dreamed that my life could change in the way it has since I have done these 12 steps, been living abstinently, and having turned my will and my life over to the care of my higher power. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
That is perfect timing, Yvonne. Thank you so much. Hang on, let me stop that. Okay, thank you very much for getting us started. And now I'm going to ask for other names, and we value everyone's experience. We ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on any of our Vision for You meetings on Wednesday or Tuesday, we ask that you hold back today. And please go ahead and give me your name.
Helen O.
I'm sorry.
Erin from Wyoming.
Freya H.
Roz G.
Veronica B.
Let me just tell you who I have, because I think I missed the first two. So I have a
Helen.
Pardon me? Who was that? Okay, hang on 1 second. Let me just read these names. I have Helen, Karen, Freya, Roz, Veronica. Did I miss anybody?
Polly, Erin from Wyoming.
I think I hear Polly. And who else?
Yeah.
From Wyoming?
Yeah, Polly.
Erin from Wyoming.
Victoria from Texas.
Charlene from Utah.
Did you get Erin from Wyoming?
I did, yeah. I have
Karen,
Helen,
wonderful, thank you.
I have Helen, Karen, Freya, Roz, Veronica, Polly, Erin, Victoria, Charlene. Let's start with this lineup and tell us where you're from. So, Helen, star one to unmute, and you can start us off.
This is Helen. Oh, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great, thank you so much. From Massachusetts, thank you. I just got my hand up, so to speak, with this reading, and thank you for your share, the first person. But, you know, this sentence, what seemed at first a flimsy read, has proven to be a loving and powerful hand of God. I wasn't reading, I was just listening, but this idea, it's just kind of poetic to me, but the flimsy read that looks like it doesn't have much strength, but if I will reach out and grab it, it turns into this powerful hand of higher power. I just really appreciate that very much. It just says a lot to me about just taking the action about, you know, for me as a compulsive overeater, is writing my food down, making sure I always have good food in the house. That was fundamental for me from the beginning, because I tried to control my eating by not having food in the house, and it never worked. It just would always be a setup for me. So that's one of the actions I need to take consistently today, is that I have food that's in my food plan in my house. And I was in a meeting yesterday, and I heard a share that just struck me so much about the speaker had gone through such a hard thing right before the meeting, and knew to get to a meeting and talk about it. And there was something about that yesterday that meant so much to me. That to me was like, the weakness was the flimsy read, I guess, but he reached out and he knew he could get to a meeting. And that's, you know, the hand of the higher power. So very good to be here today. Thanks for letting me share.
Hey, thanks so much, Helen O. from Massachusetts. Next up is Karen. and it is possible that I heard it incorrectly. So is there? Okay, I'm going to move on to Freya.
Like one of the first ones. This is Erin from Wyoming. It could have been you,
yeah,
got Erin and Karen.
I have you after Polly. Freya, okay. Why don't you go ahead?
Hi, good morning. This is Freya H., recovered compulsive eater bulimic restrictor in Colorado. Thank you so much for your service, everybody. And yeah, I really appreciate the opening share about when I just don't have a frame of reference for this. It's really, really hard to conceive of, well, what's that gonna do? You know, like all of these program tools that I'm offered, they seem like flimsy reeds, except that food plan. I'm like, that's where I was going to put my trust and reliance first. It was like, well, this one looks like it has power, so I'm going to focus my attention on the food plan. And then in my experience, it took finding out that, getting to a certain body size didn't solve the internal problem. So I had to learn that through my own experience that, oh yeah, this particular aspect of recovery seems to have a lot of power, but it's not it. So that's when I became more willing to put out my hand and reach for that flimsy reed of really working on the spiritual part of it. And I had to be at a place where I was really willing and I really wanted it. And I was really open to see what God was offering me, because I think it was always there. I just wasn't interested. So I kind of saw and perceived what I wanted to see. So, so I think it's really important. It's such a beautiful reminder that as I'm offered directions from other people who have been walking this path, that I just need to keep an open mind. Like I need to not just rule out what they're saying because it doesn't make sense or maybe it doesn't appeal right away, and just think, okay, so maybe I'll try that and just see what it happens. Things like, things that I do to deepen my spiritual life, and especially the 4-7, the steps 4-7 process, I have to just do it as I'm directed to do it and kind of let the process unfold. The more that I analyze and kind of do it my own way or, try to cut corners, the less that I'm going to get out of it. And I think the beauty of it, when I sit down to just follow the directions, see that, I have a resentment, and I just go through the columns and answer the questions as outlined, it's amazing what comes out of it, what's revealed to me that I don't think that I would be able to, reveal by thinking about it or just discussing it. It's like when I just submit and surrender to this process, it's amazing. That's when this power flows in. So, I hope that is relevant, and I really appreciate the opportunity to share, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Freya H. from Colorado. Roz G. from California is up next.
Good morning. This is Roz G. Thankfully, by God's grace, I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles County. And I'm taking a walk, so you may hear a little background noise. I was, just thinking about the design for living. I want to talk about my daily design for living. I get up in the morning early, about 4 a.m., listen to the Vision for You meeting, and I use part of that time to have prayer and meditation with the big book and scriptures for my religious practice. Then I have sponsee time, and that's so spiritual, because we meditate, I meditate with my sponsees before we talk to get so I can ask God to speak through me. And so my ego doesn't speak. And I journal. I use different devotional writings and journal, send them to my sponsor, member, gratitude list, and I make my bed. And I make my bed really neat so that when I get in it at night, it's ready for me. And my room is so peaceful and calm My dogs are there, and they are loved. They love unconditionally. And I have a food plan, and I have it on my phone. I have it on a piece of paper in my kitchen drawer. I have a food scale, and I pull out my my food plan to look to see what my measurements are, because I forget. And I have delicious foods, and I eat delicious meals. I go throughout the day, and I pause, and do I have a perfect day? Never. But I have, you know, I have tools to bring me back to God, and I have an alarm on my phone at 12 noon that says focus on God. And either I get outreach calls or I make them, or I do a Zoom meeting, and I go to bed and do the nightly review. And life happens in between all of those, plus my two meals, you know. It's a design. It is not a flimsy read, as which, you know, I've heard talked about, you know, flimsy meaning it's wishy-washy. It's not sturdy. It's not something I can hang on to. It's not concrete. It's not an anchor. It's strength, spiritual strength. Come here, Daisy. Come here. And I'm just going to go ahead and pass there and say thank you for letting me share. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Roz G. from California. Veronica B. from California is up next.
Hi, good morning. My name is Veronica, last initial B like boy, recovered compulsive overeater and a bulimic in California. Sherry, thank you so much for your service, for leading this meeting. I want to welcome anyone that's new to Overeaters Anonymous and tell you that I got a whole brand new life here. I ate and threw up for 15 years, and I thought I was going to die doing that behavior. And I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 2009, and I was shown a new way of living. I was shown this design of living that really worked in others. And it was me following the direction of my sponsor and just trusting that she had her spiritual awakening, and I had to trust and just do what she was suggesting me to do. Trust that she knew something I didn't know, because I wanted what she had. So she took me through the steps and I got my spiritual awakening. And you know, for me, I don't really relate to the flimsy read. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people share about this, and I don't relate to it. I don't really understand the poetic part of it, but that's okay. What I do understand and what is in my heart is that this is a design for living. And what does that mean for me? It means that I have to live differently than how I was living when I was eating and throwing up. I have to be honest today. I have to not be judgmental, or not so judgmental, because I still do judge people, but I don't do it as much, and I can catch myself doing it much quicker than when I used to. I'm not ruled by my emotions today, how I used to be ruled by my emotions, you know, and it's all because I have a God in my life that I rely on, that I trust, that gives me the comfort that I need to live a day at a time, abstinently, to live a day at a time, you know, being honest and showing up as myself, you know, because I was such a phony. I would show up as however you wanted me to show up. And, you know, this design for living, it's like I have to live a certain way. If I don't, it's going to show up on my plate. You know, if I start to be dishonest, if I start to, you know, be vengeful, if I start to have thoughts of like bad thoughts of like wanting ill will for other people, like those are the things that keep me up at night and will make me very uncomfortable in my skin. So this is a beautiful program, and I'm so grateful, and with that I pass.
Thanks so much, Veronica B. from California. And Polly Q is up next. Star one to unmute, Polly.
Oh, hi. Hi, this is Polly Q. I just have to say one thing, moderator, because I tried everything to get on. There's something terribly wrong with my phone connection division. I don't know what it is. I've tried everything, but I'll talk to AT&T, and I already sent a message to Leah because I'm supposed to do the same service next month. Anyway, can you hear me?
Yes, Polly. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Northern California. I'm recovered.
Okay, great. Thank you.
With the reading, I do relate to desperation of drowning men. When I first came into OA, I did not feel that. I was coming in from Al-Anon, and I was actually feeling very hopeful about the 12 steps and just happened to see if there was a 12-step program for food addiction. So I messed around with it. Then I adopted my little boy at age 4. I adopted him as a single parent, and I was in the food big time, and I was over 300 pounds. So, and then it occurred to me that, and I just couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. I couldn't get full, and I became desperate. Then I worked the 12 steps the first time in Overeaters Anonymous, actually in Howe, as if my life depended on it, and lost 100 pounds. And then I became unfocused. I wasn't working all the steps. I didn't even know to work the 10th step like this until I became desperate again 13 years late, after 13 years of white knuckling abstinence, and I broke it. I relapsed, and I became desperate again. And I called, and that's when I actually remembered this thing called a vision meeting. Never been on it before. Couldn't even remember who told me about it. Got on the meeting and heard things about working the program I'd never heard before, or at least I wasn't paying attention maybe. But I realized I had to work the program in a different way. And as a result of that desperation, I realized that I had to work a design for living that really worked. I had to work the whole program, the 10th steps, the outreach calls, everything, and lost the rest of my weight and didn't trust it for about 6 months. You know, I did not trust it. And then stopped doing something one day, and that compulsion came back, like, immediately. And I realized, oh my gosh, we're not. But I was still desperate. I'm like, what didn't I do? And I didn't do the 10th step. And so I have to work this program as if my life depended on it, or I will lose it. And I've had enough. Hopefully, I have had enough proof of that, that I will remain dedicated to this design for living. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, perfect timing, Polly. Thanks so much. That was Polly Q from California. And before I take Aaron from Wyoming, I'm going to announce where we are in case you joined us after the meeting started. We are reading today from page 28 of the Big Book, and there is a solution. We read the first two paragraphs, starting with, here was the terrible dilemma, ending with a design for living that really works. So now I'm going to ask Aaron from Wyoming to share and give us your last initial, Erin.
Hi, I'm Erin J. of Wyoming, Cody, Wyoming, and so grateful to be at this meeting. Happy to hear this part of the book. I love the idea that it's designed for living that really works. It really is like a recipe or a prescription. I've been saying more recently that these meetings are my medicine, because every morning I wake up a totally untreated compulsive overeater, oriented to believe based on my ego that things should go Aaron's way today, even though I have literally no life experience that has ever worked for me. So I'm very apt to become restless, irritable, discontented as the day unfolds not my way. And that's exactly why I lived my life for many, many years, even in these rooms. That's why I have to, my morning practice is get my exercise or my movement, usually with the meeting. And that's what I did. I took you along with me. And that's part of that prescription for the day for Aaron. Because, and I do make a few calls every day. I text my food plan into my sponsor, and actually I'm sharing it with one other person. We're kind of like swapping it. It's not because I'm being judged for my food, although my sponsor has mentioned multiple times that it would be great if I put the portions in there, which I'm sure it would be great, but I today have not been willing to do. I do track my food in a tracker so that I see if I'm following my food plan or not, which honestly I better. But I can't on my own. I have literally no power over food, no more today than I did the day before I came into a room. In fact, it probably has gotten worse. I certainly have less tolerance. And so this is the design for living that I've learned in these rooms, that it's a spiritual solution to my threefold problem, mental, physical, and emotional. I am very susceptible to pique and to upset and to resentment, and that's why I have to constantly be guarded. I can make blessings into like problems. It's uncanny and it's unconscious. So that's why I have touched base with people that know me so that they can point out, you wanted to do this, Erin. Like today I'm going to go drop a bunch of flyers off at a lot of places. And you would think, well, I'm already a busy person, no doubt. Why am I doing this? Duh. I expected the other person to do it and they didn't. But guess what? It gives me an opportunity to meet a bunch of folks. So how do I want to see it? And that's the design for living that starts with these meetings in the morning. Starts with having a plan, because freelancing my food during the day does not work at all. I have lots of experience with that. And I really, really appreciate you being here this morning. Thank you.
Hey, perfect time, Erin. Jay, my fellow Wyoming, thank you for your share. Sorry for the construction noise. Victoria is up next, and then Charlene, and then I might have time for some more.
Oh, good. Hi, y'all. I'm Victoria from Texas. Compulsive overeater, anorexic bulimic. I don't know whether I'm allowed to say the anorexic bulimic because our opening reading says, please identify as a compulsive overeater only, but I'm all of them. Wonderful paragraphs, wonderful shares that I've already heard. So with the first paragraph, I was like, oh, wait a minute. What was this terrible dilemma? What was the extraordinary experience? What was it that made him a free man? I want to be a free woman. And so I had to look back. It was like, oh, yeah, Dr. Jung tells him, you've got the mind of a chronic alcoholic. There probably won't be a solution for you. However, he has his psychic experience. He has his spiritual experience, his psychic change. And all his old ideas and attitudes, thoughts, actions, get completely turned around. That's what made him a new man, a free man. That's what I want. That's why I'm here in a vision for you. Because I've tried all the other 12-step programs that have to do with food, and I've never had the feeling of, I'm desperate and I am driven to find my recovery that I'm experiencing now. And I know it's because of the big book. I know it's because of the fellowship. I know it's because of God when it says the same escape. We sought it with the same escape as desperate drowning men. I have been drowning. I've been drowning and starving myself and being occupied with food plans, trying to find a way to fix a spiritual problem with a food plan. Doesn't work for me. I'm here to be rescued, to be saved, but I know it takes me doing the work. And as far as flimsy read, I don't see this program as a flimsy read. I see it as a strong oak, a redwood, a magnolia, and I am grabbing onto it with both hands to the point of I'll crush somebody's fingers because I want a new life. All my life I've been consumed with the false idea. If you're skinny, then you'll be pretty, then people will like you. I've been skinny. I was pretty. People have always loved me. I hated myself. no matter what weight I was at. And Design for Living, as I was writing down my food this morning, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even know what time people eat normal meals anymore, because I've been doing my skip a meal, play like you're eating dinner thing, and I'm not doing it today. So thanks for letting me share. Bye.
Thanks, Victoria from Texas. Charlene is up from Utah, and then I will take another few names. Charlene, please give us your last initial when you share. Star one to unmute, Charlene.
Sorry about that. I always think I'm unmuted. Hi, Charlene G from Utah. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you all for being here. It's just such a cool thing that we get to spend this hour together. I think there was 138 the last time I checked. And I just love that there's this big, big, beautiful fellowship right at our fingertips. I've been able to have some really cool friendships because of this meeting. And I'm so grateful. So Design for Living, such beautiful shares we've heard today. Such a great meeting. Thank you. My husband just went through a hip replacement. And during the post-surgery instruction phase, as the nurses are talking to me, and I'm hearing the word healing and recover. And of course, my ears perk and I immediately start to make an analogy as they're speaking. And they're telling him, if you do this and this and this, if you have, you know, the water, the protein, the movement, the ice, all these things, these specific things pertaining to helping his recovery. And they assure him that he will feel better if he does these things. And, you know, I'm finding the same thing, that my Design for Living helps me feel better and that there's true healing going on. I've gradually adopted a Design for Living from hearing your shares and instructions and my sponsors. And I love starting my day with this structured prescription, these great stacks of habits that start my day. And it includes prayer and time with God and this meeting. And then all through the day, connecting with God and higher and my fellows, and holding to my food plan and my accountability. These are all my prescriptions. And I love that I know what to do when pain comes up or disturbance. And I've got this beautiful big book with all these sets of directions and these words. And, you know, I just stumbled upon the title page of my big book, and it says August of 13. And I love my big book. It's marked up. It's so colorful. And all these words that just, just penetrate deep in my heart. And I'm just so grateful that there is a place that has created this Design for Living for me. I'm currently doing a step four. And as I was flipping through some old step four inventory sheets in my computer, I saw an old fear sheet and I thought, wow, there's true growth and there is healing, because some of these old fears are gone and they're gone by the wayside. And so I know for me, I have to incorporate recovery in all parts of my life. I often wonder, what is it like for someone who doesn't have any of these pieces and parts that we have, these little nuggets of truth? And I'm just glad that I have the big. And thank you all for your service. And I'll just in closing say that the loving hand of God, that hand of compassion, and he is tender and gentle. And that relationship with him is so rewarding. And I thank you, Pat. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. And now I can take a few more names, maybe two or three names. So who else would like to share today?
Susan
G.
Kim A.
Hillary B.
I heard Susan G. and Hillary B., but I know there was at least one or two others.
Mo A.
It was Deb E.
It was
Deb and Mo.
From Chicago.
Okay, I have these four names that we're going to go. I'm so sorry if I didn't hear you. We maybe have a chance to add more. We'll see how it goes. First up is Mo H. Thank you. Mo, can you unmute Mo and share?
Oh, I thought I was further down. Hi. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you, Mo. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Sherry. Thank you very much for your service and all those giving service and all the shares today. So my name is Mo H. I'm a recovered compulsive eater and living in Walnut Creek, California. So here was the terrible dilemma which our friend found himself. I have that underlined, and I have my thinking. My terrible dilemma was my thinking, and I did not know that for a long time. I thought my terrible dilemma was my fat, that I needed to lose it. No, it was the thinking that went on before I take that bite. It goes on and on and on. And the extraordinary experience, you know, Bill had that, you know, sudden experience, and mine has been very gradual and slow, and it's been working the 12 steps with all of you, doing my fourth step, doing 10 steps, reaching out, giving service, and all of that. That's the experience that helps make me a free woman. And then it says, we, in our turn, sought the same with all the desperation of a drowning man. And I had this analogy years ago, and I thought it was true with this flimsy reed, is being in quicksand. I remember when I was a young person, and I used to watch a lot of cowboy and Indian movies, and there was quicksand in them, and I didn't know what quicksand was, but it sure scared me, because when the person got stuck in the quicksand, the harder they tried to get out, the more they got pulled down. And when I'm trying to do this program on my own, I'm going to get pulled down. When I'm trying to diet, I'm going to get pulled down. But when I reach out, for me, the flimsy reed was either the hand of a sponsor, the hand, which is to me the hand of my higher power, or the hand of another fellow, or the hand of a meeting, or a phone call. That's the flimsy reed that I'm reaching for, and it's a gradual coming out of that quicksand, or that, you know, what they say, the drowning man, the gradual coming out and becoming free. And yes, definitely has a new life been given to me, and a design for living. I was talking to someone the other day, and we were talking about, we weren't handed the book on how to parent, because a couple of us were talking about, you know, adult children issues, and, you know, we weren't given a handbook. But I'll tell you, this program helps me so much, because if I wasn't in this program, I would be gossiping from one kid to the other about, you know, whatever. And so the powerful, powerful paragraph, but as always it is. And one last thing is, I can't negotiate with my disease, because the disease will always win. So quit negotiating. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Mo. Good timing. Susan G is up next.
Thank you, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. Susan G, recovered in Los Angeles. Thank you, Yvonne, for getting us started. And great job today, Sherry, because everybody wants to be in on this. And I won't take up much time. You know, it took me over 60 years. Just being fat just wasn't enough. You know, I kept on thinking I was coming to these rooms designed for living, what it meant to me as a I'm going to get a food plan and it's going to really work. But to have the desperation of a last gasper, of a drowning man, woman, it took over a decade. And, you know, they use the word here, extraordinary experience, and I'm going to use it in a different way. You know, I've been doing this now for over two decades, and every single day, God hands me a life that is beyond extraordinary. Beyond extraordinary, by following these few simple steps, this design for living, nothing has worked in my life like this. I've thrown money at it, it's thrown it back to me, all kinds of things. If you are struggling, please don't leave, because what seems at first like a flimsy reed, God will get you through this a day at a time. So I'm eternally grateful and look forward to continuing to live and have all of these extraordinary experiences with all of you. Thank you, Sherry. I pass.
Hey, thanks so much, Susan. We have Hillary and Deb. If you each take 2 minutes, then you both could share. So go ahead, Hillary.
Okay, I'm Hillary B. This is Hillary B. from Southern California. Grateful to be recovered for today. I set my timer for 2 minutes. It says, we in our turn sought the same escape with all the desperation of drowning men. And it took me 40 years to truly become desperate. 40 years in the program to be as desperate as a drowning man. And my MO is I get desperate and then I get abstinent, then I lose weight, and then I am not desperate any longer and I'm not seeking the same escape. And that flimsy reed that is become so, so strong, when I get in my head and feel like I've arrived, then it gets flimsy again. And I don't grab a hold of the phone. I don't grab a hold of my higher power. I don't grab a hold of the meetings. I let it all go and it all falls apart. So I just want to say out loud for myself to hear, in addition to what everyone else has shared that has been so powerful for me this morning, thank you all very much, is that I want to stay desperate. I want one day at a time to remember I die without this recovery. I die without God. I die without you guys. And I don't want to tune out. And I don't want to forget where I came from. And I love this new body that I have. And I think I love it too much. And I need to just not be so focused on that, because that's just an extra bonus. That's not the solution. It's a sign that I have a solution, the solution, which is a relationship with God. Okay, I'll stop there. My timer's going off. Thank you so much for hearing my name and giving me 2 minutes.
Thanks so much, Hillary from California. And Deb E., why don't you close us out with a two-minute share? Thanks.
Thanks so much. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. I didn't think you'd heard my name, so I'm super happy to get to share. I want to focus on this flimsy reed, just to do a quicker share. And I feel like the way I interpret it is, it's like at first, I think of it as a good analogy for my faith and my intuition and my connection to my higher power. At first, it was more like on the flimsy side. There was something there, but it wasn't that strong. And as I've practiced these steps over the years, it's gotten stronger and stronger. And it also reminds me of how, like, there's nothing flimsy about the strength and the help I get from my higher power. That is always strong. But depending on how much I believe in it, it can seem either flimsy or strong. And I started off my day with, like, a lot of challenges, just, like, you know, car trouble and almost, you know, looking like I was going to miss a really important appointment. And then halfway through the day, I was in a meeting with a few people, and it came up. And the person kind of stopped me in the middle of my story and said, but did it all turn out okay? And I said, yeah, it did. And I just felt like that was directly from God, because it was like, okay, don't get too focused on what wasn't working. Did I take care of you? Did it all work out? Yeah. And that's how it always is when I live in the world of the spirit. When I'm connected to my higher power, I can see the good in things. I can see how my higher power is there for me. Even when it seems like things are, you know, getting out of hand or they seem like they're going wrong, they're never going wrong. It's all about how I look at them. And I'll pass with that. Thanks so much.
Oh, thanks, Debbie from Israel. Thank you, everyone that shared. And I know there were a lot of other people that didn't get a chance. So please come back tomorrow for an opportunity to share here. We're now going to close with the reading from the big book on page 164, and then we're going to follow it with a group serenity prayer. So I'm going to ask Lorraine M. to please read a vision for you.
Thank you. What a great meeting. Good morning, everyone. This is Lorraine N., living in recovery in Oregon, a compulsive overeater. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great process. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.